Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's it going, girls?
Good.
Yeah. I tried to think of something.
Yeah.
Present.
I am a girl, and I'm here.
Accounted for.
How are my girls this week? Present and accounted for.
Hell yeah.
You know, it's the dog days. It's the dog days of summer. Mm-hmm. Did anything, any interesting? This isn't my best work. I'm really kicking to you, Ann. It's Ann's happiness week, so. Hey, Ann, can you bring the tone up in here real quick?
Just straight into what's making me happy, or?
I think so, yeah, unless you wanted me to, you know, set you up.
No, you know. I don't think we need to vamp before we go into it.
Ann, can you please make us happy right now? Because I really need it personally. So
I'd love to make us happy. So as you guys know, it's hot and summer. I'm spending every evening out there by the pool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I like to do out by the pool, one of the nerdier things about me, is I like to do a little logic puzzle.
You do, yeah.
I know that about you. These penny press, like magazines, like paper magazines that you can buy at the grocery store. And it's a little booklet of like 50 logic puzzles, ranging from easy ones to very, very hard ones. And my mom used to get them when I was a kid, and I'd like take them from her and do them. And now I'm like, oh, I can buy them myself. And so I was like buying them at the grocery store. And then I realized you could subscribe to them. So you would always get the issues
the
they put out.
The hottest logic puzzles.
The hottest, the newest logic puzzles. Because sometimes like the supermarket, they sell out or they might not stock them that week. So and they're amazing. They're made by and for octogenarians, I would say. there are often puzzles where you have to figure out, like, married couples, who's married to who. They are always heterosexual married couples. The woman has always taken the man's name. Sometimes in the puzzle, you have to figure out whose gender, what gender is which. They're like, Pat and Chris could be either gender, and you have to figure it out, but there's never a gay couple in there.
Yeah. Do you think you could write in, like, do they have a letter to the editor section in these?
They don't have a letter to the editor situation, but I bet you could write it. It had never occurred to me, but there are sections where they're like, oh, if you need like more guidance on how to do these puzzles, like send a self-addressed stamped envelope to this physical address.
That's how they're doing it. I'd love for you to write in and maybe in an octogenarian persona, like you're a really persnickety 83-year-old woman who's like, it's 2025. I've had enough of these heteronormative puzzles.
Yeah, I'm just like an older.
Maybe if you could get a typewriter.
Yeah, my grandchild is gay, and I would like to see them represented in here.
Representation for my gay grandchild.
My gay grandchild likes to do these when we're on vacation. They take mine. And sometimes they will bring up these puzzles, like some part of technology, in such a way, often where you're like, huh, you've never been on the old internet, have you? Like, there was one puzzle where it was, like, businesses, and you had to, like, match them with their website. But each website, they included the www, but not the, like, .com part. So it would be like, www.twitter, end of thing. And it's like, yeah, you don't need the first part, but you do need the second part, actually, or the third part, I guess.
www.twitter is one of our fake news sports sources that are interviewing Tony Khan.
Yeah, I'm Leah from www.twitter. I have a question.
www.sports.
Do you think you'll ever come back to Dallas?
And oh, I got you a logic puzzle for Christmas last year, and I remember standing in the bookstore being like, and now all of these seem to come in large print.
They do. Yeah,
only
they
large do. Print?
I think I ended up finding a normal one, but I would say at least 80% of them are large prints.
Yeah, I will say the little supermarket books that I do are a normal print. Yeah, for your youthful, for your reading glasses contingent.
I'm just imagining you in your octogenarian persona, peering over a little pair of CVS spectacles, reading glasses, just being like, and every single one of these couples is heterosexual,
and all the women kept their cooked their husband's name. I just don't think it's realistic
in this day and age, in this big year.
In this 2025, but they're so fun. Every time I get a new one in the mail, it's like the best day of my month.
I have to say I'm so happy thinking, like, I'm happy for you. And I'm happy thinking about you getting your subscription to the Logic and being like, oh, my Logic Puzzle subscription's here. And also I'm like, God, we do all need to subscribe to things. Just before I hopped on this Zoom, I've reached the part of the year where I'm like, God, I gotta lock in. This is the crazy thing I'm gonna say, actually. I'm like, gotta lock in some Christmas presents before I forget and can't get like real ones, you know? So I'm like, these are, you know, I'm going to my, I have some stuff I've been tracking. Anyway, I was on, it's called Lost Arts Press, and they have all these, oh God, no, my dad will never listen to this. They have all these like, old, like really cool books on like woodworking and stuff. And they have, apparently, it's, you can subscribe to this journal of Welsh stick chairs. And I think it's a quarterly or something. Oh, wow. And they send you, you know, it's just some cool
just
stick
pictures
chairs.
Of stick and chairs and
I was
articles
literally
about
just
them.
Being like, should I put that in the old cart? Like, should I subscribe? So
it sounds
probably
so
will.
Soothing. There really is something about like a little paper that comes in the mail to your home and it's just fully analog and you're
And you get you open the mailbox and oh there it is and wow, I'm gonna learn something.
My favorite, my friend Tracy subscribes to some like catalog of like the most embarrassing witchy like outfits you've ever seen in your life. It's some like really like
you've
niche.
Mentioned this before.
I think I have. And so every single time it comes, she sits down and flips through it like a book and just says, wow, that's hideous. Look at that. People would look at me in the streets wearing that. Like she just she gets so excited when it comes. So I do back this.
We used to do this and I do think it preceded. They did it as a, oh God, what is it? Deadspin feature or something. But my dad and I used to get excited every year for the William Sonoma Christmas edition where you could go through and they would have all the like stuff that they were like, people will definitely want to buy this for someone for Christmas. And it would be like a $10,000 chicken coop from William Sonoma. Oh, so fun. Wow. Catalogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys remember the Sears toy catalog and you go through it and like circle the things you wanted for Christmas. Yep.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. And
I guess Amazon
Book Fair.
Yeah. Scholastic Book Fair.
God, those are fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, it's like, should Scholastic have been in the schools? I don't know. Maybe not, but it was a pretty exciting time of year nonetheless.
I know. Yeah. I wish I could ever... I wish I could capture the feeling that I felt on Book Fair Day.
Yeah. Mm. And it's like, you knew everything in there had to be approved to be in there. So I guess on the one, it's like you couldn't really anticipate, like, I'm going to get something so crazy. But actually, I was raised in a PBS household, so I could. Mm. Like, it's like there was lots of stuff that my parents would be like, I don't know why you would ever bring that home. But they sent me in with the money. They sent me in with the money. So
get whatever you want.
Yeah. Wow. Good God, that was fun. Okay, well, I do feel happier. Thank you, Anne. You really you brought the mood up, and I know we all agree it's so good to just celebrate our happiness together.
That's why it's such a good segment that we all have really bought into, and
we all love the segment.
The Discord now agrees that I should be exempted.
One person.
One rogue agent.
They spoke with one voice and said, Leah should be exempted from this.
You know, I almost said this at the time, but then I didn't. It's like, I don't know if we've said it on the pod before, but do you remember when we started doing, like, I was like, should we be doing some little, like, icebreaker thing? Like, you know, something that I can ask you guys just to, like, get the ball rolling on conversation. And it was because I was listening to Too Scary Didn't Watch, and they do something where they're like, every week they're like, what's something that scared you this week? And so one of my first suggestions, I was like, I guess we could do like something we're wrestling with. So think how much worse it could be.
I think Leah had a pretty violent reaction to that suggestion.
Imagine if you had to get on here every week, every 3 weeks, and say something you're wrestling with. You wouldn't be here anymore. You'd kill me. So it's much
be
better
a
than that
hole in the wall, you know.
Where'd she go? My friend.
The Zoom just ends. You both get knocked out of it.
Okay. Sleepy little week on Dynamite. you guys agree, like, this morning when you woke up, you still felt like that was a very odd episode, right?
Yeah, I put the cards together for you for the schedule, and as I was doing it, I was like, God, I'm so glad I don't write the schedule. This week is kind of weird.
All night long while we were watching, I kept being like, what's happening on this show right now?
It is crazy. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just odd. There were just, like, a lot of odd things. And, like, often post-pay-per-view, they're kind of dealing with injuries and stuff. So, like, you have some kind of strange matches. But it wasn't even so much that there were matches for no reason. It's, like, there were just a lot of segments where you're like,
oh, and what's that all about? People I expected to give promos, but they did it in a way that I wasn't expecting. And a lot of times I was like, what are you even talking about right now?
I felt like I had a universal translator that was malfunctioning at points where I was just like, I'm not sure that I'm seeing what I think I'm seeing or hearing what I think I'm hearing. And then in the middle of I was so confused that in the middle of the episode, I was just like, do you think that maybe Tony like forgot that he'd have to keep booking the show after All In? Like, it was so important to get to All In. And then he like woke up the morning after and was like cheerfully opening his booking notebook and was like, can't wait to see what I planned. Oh no.
Oh no. I guess we can keep doing Mock Hangman just for a few more weeks. That should be fine, right? There's a lot of people in those factions.
Everyone really liked it. It'll be fine.
Yeah. It's like he was just like, oh my God. Okay. Anyone who's been driving a storyline can just keep driving in the same direction for a couple weeks. And some of those people have taken liberties, I would say. So, well, let's get into it. This week on Collision, we got a Hangman package that was recapping his journey to being champion of the fucking world. And then we cut to commentary where Colt Cabana was sitting in talking about his longtime friendship with Hangman. And he barely got to say more than a light sentence or two about how nice it is that Hangman's a champ now before Marina snuck up behind him on the barrier and chain choked him out. And then the rest of the Death Riders came along because, you know, they hear a chain rattling and they're there like hungry feral cats. And they rolled Colt into the ring and roughed him up. And Yuta took his turn doing some chain choking. And then finally Mox got to do his favorite thing of choking to completion over the edge until Colt tapped out, which was like, this isn't a match. What do you mean?
I know. It's very like, so they came out to inflict pain on you, like just to beat you up, but you tap, so they're done now.
I guess it's still like embarrassing to tap, because actually this was quite a rude Chicago crowd and they did chant, you tapped out.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, they waited until the Death Riders were leaving, and I couldn't tell if that was aimed at Mox or at Colt. Because Mox tapped at All In.
He did tap out.
So I don't know if they were trying to taunt. I hope it
was at Mox. Yeah.
That would make so much more sense.
I couldn't tell, though, because it was like, well, Colt just tapped. So are you making fun of him? I don't know.
And in Chicago, it's just like, who knows what Chicago is. Yeah,
that's a bit of an unclear antecedent situation. Because it's like the closest proper noun is Colt Cabana.
Right.
But you're right. Hopefully it was at Mox. That would make more sense. Because I was like, this is really mean.
Certainly kinder. Yeah.
He was just on commentary. He didn't do anything. Calm down. He's literally from your city. Like, be cool.
He hasn't been on TV in like 2 years. This is a big, big opportunity coming back now that Hangman is champ again.
I think it must have been at Mox. I think you're right, Leah. You solved it for me.
Okay. I'm going to believe it just to think the best of Chicago.
Yeah. We want to give them a little credit for a change. So other relevant stuff about this. We did get a sweet little Nigel Tony moment. Did everybody like that?
He was like, sit down. Don't get involved.
Don't get involved.
I was watching Collision like by myself, just skimming through it, and I like wasn't looking at the screen when Colt got choked out. So like, and his haircut is very similar to Nigel's haircut. So like, when I looked up, like just a man with that haircut was like had his head like you couldn't see his face, and I was like, oh my God, Nigel's getting choked out. And then I was like, I mean, Shivani seems upset, but not that upset. Like a little bit disappointing.
Right? He should be screaming, "Don't take the girl!" Right? That's his literal husband.
Yeah. So it was very reassuring when I rewound a little bit and was like, "Oh, it's just Colt Cabana and Nigel was keeping Tony out of the way. That's fine."
Yeah, I did. I really liked that, and I thought that was a very sweet "do as I say, not as I do" moment, because it was like, Nigel, you're always getting involved, but I'm glad that you're trying here.
Was his vibe was like, I don't want to have to go out there and defend your honor again. And I was like, well, I didn't ask you to do that last time.
Well, you don't have to. When they're your husband, you don't have to ask. It's their job. So this was an unexpected for me, an unexpected continuation of the Death Rider storyline. I will say, didn't see Colt coming back into the picture. Love that for us.
Yeah. That's nice. Nice to see him again. Nice. I would love it if the Dark Order got back in the mix. Like, yeah. I do miss them.
Let's get those guys choked out. Hey, we've got more than enough chains to go around. Yeah. So let's get those guys in the ring and choke them out.
And I can't tell whether bringing Colt out in Chicago is like a fuck you to CM Punk, but if it is, good.
It does feel like it's like it feels very least we had a little breakthrough in therapy at some point, you know.
It does feel very like, oh, so Hangman's world champ and Colt Cabana's on TV. Like, have we undone everything from the past 2 years?
Yeah. Okay, so then on Dynamite, Hangman opened the show first with a backstage conversation with Renee, who was trying to check in about something. How do you feel about the Death Rider or something? And he was like, how do I feel? Like, I'll murder them and I will be happy to do it. Something like that. Then MJF interrupts and he's basically like wanting to get into the logistics of the cash-in. And I didn't understand, I'll be honest, I didn't really understand the conversation they had about it.
No, I think if the promotion had like clear and consistent rules about when you got a title shot, I think they could make something of this, but they don't. So
maybe like a weekly or monthly like ranking, maybe, yeah, some kind of, you know, rankings can maybe do it. Yeah, brought no that up.
Ever tried that before? Do you even think that it could? Do you even think it could work?
I mean, I don't know much about wrestling, but it seems like it should.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, so MJF was like, I'm going to beat you for my world championship, and I'm not going to do it with this. And it holds up the cash-in contract.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to prove a point. I'm going to beat you inside that squared circle. I think that's where the cash-in has to happen. I think.
I would have thought. Yeah,
I don't know for sure. And then Hangman said, you're not going to goad me into giving you a championship match. If you want a match for this championship, you're going to use that contract or you are going to earn it. And it was like, I don't know. I guess like at MJF, I was like, yeah, just use your contract. What do you mean?
Yeah. And if MJF's saying, I'm not going to use this contract to do like a surprise thing when you're really tired out, it's like, yeah, so say we'll have a match next week then. You know, like you can use it that way. I don't think there's anything in the rules that says you can't do it when the champ is rested up, you know?
Yeah, right.
I don't think I haven't been talked around by anybody yet into closing my heart to the cash in. My heart remains tentatively open to something fun happening cash in wise. But I will say I didn't know what we were doing psychologically here. I was like, I don't really understand the beats that we're hitting here.
No.
Well, you know, MJF is incredibly online, so it did kind of feel like he heard some of the conversation about surprise cash-ins and was kind of sort of engaging in it, but I don't know for sure. But
then he's a bad guy, so it's like if he says he's not going to use his cash-in, you're like, surely he will.
Yeah,
has to use it.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, again, they just weren't communicating very clearly, or the rules aren't very clear around this. Because it was like if he had said, I'm not going to do a surprise when I'm going to announce it a week in advance, it'd be like, well, then everyone online would calm the fuck down, which would make my life better. And, like, the promo would have made sense. So yeah. It's a win-win.
It would be funny for MJF to be like, of course I'll be cashing in a week early because it takes time to get confetti in. It takes time to, order dancers, whatever. All his shit. Okay. It is very funny to me every time. He loves calling Hangman Seabiscuit, and I guess it's a horse cowboy thing, but, right?
Yeah.
He's done it before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But every time he says, I don't know, I just find it, like, kind of fun. Like, it's a kind of Gatsby-esque. I'm like, yeah.
Seabiscuit. It is a fun, like, nickname. You're like, what's up, Seabiscuit?
It's like just kind of sweet. Like, I'm like, oh, you like him. So anyway, MJF Hangman feud looming over us a little bit. Later in the show, Mox got a backstage promo where he's looking like crazy good. I feel like you guys didn't engage with me enough about this. Like, because I was like kind of like sweating about it throughout the app. You guys like weren't being like, wow, you're so sweaty.
I think I had gone into the kitchen at that moment. Okay. I was having to like peer around, so I wasn't at my computer.
Okay, I'll allow it. But he just has a little bit of a post-loss glow. Like, he's just looking like so good. And he was dressed really soft, kind of like, I don't know. Something about him is really working for me right now. And he was like, okay, so you won the belt off me. That don't impress me much. And actually, I'm not even sure you won it. I'm not even sure that you won that belt. So he said he wanted to know if Hangman had the guts to fight him again. Leah, you had some thoughts on the timing of this promo.
Well, it's just crazy because Mox, like, the way that Mox explained why he's still going at Hangman, you know, where he's just like, I'm not a bitch, like, I'm not going to sulk about it. I'm not going to be backstage. I'm just going to get it back. And like, he just explained pretty coherently what like is going on with him, why he's still going after Hangman. Cause usually we see like former champions slink away, you know? And so he was kind of explaining what's going on. And I was like, this would have been so helpful. The Dynamite after All In, when I was like, wait, is this feud still happening? Like,
yeah.
Cause it's like, they already had another match like last week.
Yeah. So. Right. And I guess I did forget to say just now, I got so excited by our MJF Seabiscuit discussion. I forgot to say that Hangman then, like, he went from the MJF discussion to this match with Yuta, and he just, like, murdered Yuta. And he hit him so hard till he bled beautiful crimson red with his, as you said, an emotional support chain that he got from Swerve. And I think it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful to get a weapon from an enemy that now you'll be using forever.
Yeah, you want to sleep with it under your pillow. You
know? Well, it feels a little bit like he's like, look, Swerve, I'm using it. I'm still using it. Look at it.
I really love this gift you gave me. I wear it all the time.
Swerve, I'm wearing your ring.
This chain is so heavy, it'll never break. I'll be using it for the rest of my life. Say, wow, that's good. You've got to invest in good quality weapons.
Yeah, find a local blacksmith, you know.
Artisan chains.
Can you believe I got encouraged in that way? That's so crazy. It's
crazy, yeah.
For the listeners, today I was Googling, like, very really classic Allie Google, best shower curtain, oh, come on, best shower curtain rings. And it took me to a Reddit post where someone was like, oh, these shower curtain rings for sale are such garbage. Like, where can you find a quality shower curtain ring? And someone had replied and said, try your local blacksmith. You will find many good examples at local Ren Faire's LARPing events and like horse stables.
Yeah, it was so funny. Like, your local blacksmith, like, go down to the crossroads and ask the old woman who lives in the...
But I can't think of anything more Allie than her going to a Ren Faire and being like, so now, do you make a shower ring?
Yeah,
like,
how much craft?
Can I commission you like a really beautiful artisan, well-made shower ring?
Yeah, what do you work in, bronze?
It was so crazy. It was like, this is actually the kind of advice that's dangerous for a woman like me. Like, please delete that comment and someone just like link to like just anything you can buy online. Like, we can't be getting into this right now. What if I do it? Oh my god, why, what were we talking about? Your local blacksmith for the steel chain. All right, so now we're back to the timing though. So Mox has already, or Hangman has already fought Mox in the trios last week.
I think it was trios.
And Hangman has moved on to murdering Mox's minions. Is this the appropriate time to now be cutting this promo where you're like, I'm not over it? Let me get my hands back on your body.
It's really funny because it's like, we all kind of picked up on that.
Yeah, it's pretty like, clear you're not over it.
Like, yeah, it's surprising and it's been confusing for several weeks why you guys are still fighting. But
you might be wondering why I'm still fighting him. It's because I refuse to stop fighting him. yeah, totally, for sure.
Got it. It is crazy though, because although today I was like trying to think of like a good metaphor where I was like, it's like as though like Frodo threw the one ring in the volcano and then he still had to, wait, he did actually. And then like I like went through a few different fantasy properties and I was like, huh, there often is a little mop up battle after the big battle, I guess. So like,
we're in the scouring of the Shire.
Yeah.
That actually is, that's a pretty,
that kind of cheered me up about
it. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But it is funny, though, that all the commentary about it is like, these Death Riders, they and now they have a tight grip on the AEW locker room, and they won't stop until they've destroyed everyone. And it's like, yeah, as per usual, it's their same MO. Like, I'm not even saying that as a criticism. It's just like, there's nothing new about it. Just, you know, maybe we change up the language a little bit. Anyway, so we get to the end of the show. Mark Briscoe and Claudio main event. Mark Briscoe wins. The Death Riders cruise out to beat him up. Mox hops on the mic, and he's like, he says, Hangman Page thinks he's the champion. He thinks he's the champion because he's walking around with a belt.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hangman Page ain't the champion yet. We want to make sure nobody around here gets too damn comfortable. No one has been comfortable. So don't... No one in the promotion has been comfortable. No one in the IWC has been comfortable. Like, don't worry. Everyone's been really uncomfortable. Hangman comes out and is like, okay. I'd love to touch your body again. I'm the champion now, though. So we're going to fight on my terms. We can have another match. There'll be no ringside interference. And it'll be next week. And so, and Tony Khan enthusiastically says, yes, book it. So it's been booked for next week. And I feel fine about this because I assume he's going to put his shoulders to the mat. And I love that.
Yeah.
Mox was so, like, as Hangman was saying this, he was, like, getting so close and, like, looking at his mouth and doing these little twitchy, like ooh, and I wish I could touch you right now. Right.
And even when Hangman walked away, Mox was kind of, like, walking around the ring, wagging his tail, and I was like, oh, you got horned up big time.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't make me go out there and fight an Adam Copeland again.
Yeah.
Get horny at all.
Mox is like, I've had like a lot of blue balls during my reign. You're not letting me off. Like, you're going to let me come to completion.
Please hang me by a steel chain again. That's all I want.
You're
going to
let me lie down and take it and take it and take it until I can take it no more.
I'll tell you when I'm done.
Oh, no. It's really hard to remember what we're discussing.
It is this thing where I find it so like confusing that this is still happening, but I'm not mad about it. Like, it's entertaining me. I am sort of like, where is this going? But maybe it's just like they'll have a little rematch and then that'll be over. I don't know.
Well, I think we're gonna get into this next, but I just keep being like, Darby's gonna get in this, right? Like, is that Darby?
MJF, quite they're both just hanging around.
What's going on with Darby right now, to be honest?
It seems like we have feuds like lined up for Mox and for Hangman separately, and I'm not quite sure why we're not just going right into them, but I mean, it's fine. If Mox needs to climax again, that's fine.
I want him to get it as much as he needs, you know?
The vibe is like everyone's lined up and waiting, but like Mox and Hangman won't get out of the ring because they're like, no, we're going to fight again. It's like Tony's like, actually, I lined up this other stuff for you. And they're like, no, we're going again. We both had rough years. We're going again.
Well, it is a little, and it's like, yeah, it's like Mox is like, yeah, we've been doing the interference thing. So fun. I've been loving it. But I need it to be just you and me. I need it to be just you and me.
Just you and me and a referee.
Just you and me. And that should be a rom-com. Darby has been showing up and just lurking. He's just been lurking, like, nearby. Like, I guess he showed up in the crowd during this match and, like, distracted Claudio, which helped Mark Briscoe win. But he didn't get involved at all, did he? So it's like he's just doing kind of like a Grim Reaper Spectre thing who's like appearing to the bad guys and they get spooked and then they die. And it's like, you usually love hitting people. And to be honest, I wouldn't be opposed if you wanted to like get on in here and, you know, just like tope someone. I wouldn't mind personally, but if you don't feel comfortable doing it yet, that's okay.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting that he's gone back to like his and Sting's like lurking in the rafters thing. I mean,
what happened to him on that mountain?
What happened to him?
Well, it's really confusing because it's been so long, and I'm like, Darby, you must be jonesing to be thrown around. Like,
maybe it's an edging thing. He's like addicted to the weight now. Well, time will tell. Come down from those fences, Darby. Okay. Any other? Maybe we'll get to the Yuta stuff later. That's where I typed up the Chris stuff. And Hangman and Mox looking very beautiful and very horny. Hangman's haircut looking lovely this week. Really nice.
Looking great. It's really grown into it well. Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice. I mean, how much TV time Hangman's getting in this rain compared to the last one? I'm having a good time with this open and close of the show
situation. Leah was cursing at him yesterday as the show started.
Can a girl get her shit together? Like, multiple times I'm like trying to organize and I'm like, oh God, it's 8:01. Hangman's probably, you know, balls deep into a promo.
I can't wait until everybody has to learn a totally new, like, wrestling TV show pacing when we have our pumps. And, they, like, everyone just knows, like, yeah, the first 10 minutes is, like, a bust. Like, don't worry about it at all.
We put FTR on the first 10 minutes. Like, you can miss it.
Listen, that's like, when you're getting your drinks.
It should be entertaining, too. So it's like, that's when they have their, like, banana time, you know?
Yeah. Banana time. Yeah. It's just like minute 0 to 10, banana time.
Yeah. And if you don't catch it tonight, you'll catch it tomorrow night, you know?
You see a little bit of banana time, but you kind of get the gist, you know?
Yeah. You can kind of half listen to banana time while you're getting a big jug of milk from inside.
Because there's a lot of sound effects with banana time, you know? So you can really, you can be getting, filling up your milk at the milk pump and just hearing the whoop.
Just imagine. This is something I would love for us to spend some money on. Mm. Obviously, like, it's all happening for real, so there's, like, real noises. But maybe we just pay a couple of talented Foley artists as well, and they do some, like, extra banana noises.
Can we get, like, a couple slide whistles, too, just for...
We just gotta have some slide whistles, yeah.
It's just, like, a couple people with their you know, they have stuff all around them to make glorious, humiliating noises.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes even, because it's fun to watch, right? So, like, sometimes we could even throw that on the pump, just the Foley cam.
Yeah. That sounds absolutely perfect. I mean, yeah. God, people are... That's going to create some really good jobs.
That's true. We're really, as everyone gets laid off due to AI, they can come work at our pumps. And
God, I didn't even think about the potential. I mean, I assume it's impacting Foley artists. That's really upsets me.
Yeah, I
hadn't
really thought about that one.
Because they are talented. They are very talented. Mm.
They know how to. Sometimes, like, if you start listening to, like, kissing Foley noises, like, too much, it's not good. I knew someone who really hated that, and so she would be like, oh, like, the kiss, they've gone too hard Foley-wise, and, like, I'd never thought about it, but then I started thinking about it for a while.
If you pay attention to kissing too much on TV for any reason, you're like, this is disgusting.
Yeah. You have to be so, have you ever, like, really loved, like, a TV show and, like, you know, your favorite couple kissed and you're like, oh my God, it was, like, the best kiss of all time. You remember it that way. And then years later, when the holes in your brain have knitted themselves back together, you rewatch it and you're like, that was a really bad kiss. Not good at all.
Are you thinking of, like, a specific?
No, I have, like, I just can't remember what, like, movie or TV show it was where I remember being like, this is the gold standard for a kiss. And then I rewatched it years later and it's, like, very weirdly shot in, like, half slow-mo and, like, you never really are getting a good glimpse at the mouth. Not that you want to get a great glimpse at the mouth, but, like, everything about it was like, that's not how I remembered it when it was when it was making me into the person that I've become.
You know? Doing a little rewiring, yeah.
Doing a little rewiring, yeah.
Josh from Kiss got me started after we hung out, got me started watching Love Island UK. And may I say, none of those people can kiss in any kind of attractive way. Yeah. Like, every time they're kissing, their jaws are working so hard. And I'm constantly like, oh, that doesn't look nice at all.
I've been watching Love Island US because our friend Aaron tempted me into that one. And it is like, you just see a lot of tongue, like more tongue than you really want to see from
It's not good.
No.
Their jaws are working so hard. It's going to be with me for quite some time because it is just like they're at the Kiss gym. Like, they're just like in there, like working on their
getting fitness. Their reps in. Have you fed also, Leo? I don't know if the UK version is like this, but watching the US version, sometimes I'm just like, these are like very young people like play acting at being sexy.
Yes, yes. It's interesting. So in the UK version especially, like, Josh says they used to have sex, but now they don't. So, like, the girls hang out on one side and the boys hang out on the other. And every once in a while, somebody will stand up and be like, I'm going to pull him for a chat. And then they go to this other part and they have like a conversation and then they go back to their separate sides. And it's very like middle school dance. Mm-hmm. And like the artificial, like, we're coupling up, we're not coupling up, I want to be in a couple with you. I'm like, yeah, this is how you date in middle school, where you just like announce by like a note, like, we're dating now, and dating means that like maybe you hold hands at lunch. Like, this is Love Island is a huge middle school role play, and I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's so funny. And they have to talk about their feelings like so much. Like, it on like day one, they're like, yeah. So how are you feeling? Like, how are you feeling about that? It's like, you guys have known each other for 48 hours. Like, this is wild.
You don't have to feel anyway at all. You
can, no, it'd be more normal to feel very little, I think.
I'd love it for a contestant at some point to be like, I don't know you. I've only known you for 12 hours. So I don't care.
I'm so kind of mad that I'm not in college as an anthropology major right now. Like, I'm like, I could have gotten so many papers out of this. these lucky college students now, well, I guess they're just having ChatGPT write them. I'll have all the fun of writing your anthropological papers about Love Island?
It's dark.
Come on.
It's really dark.
It would be better to do it yourself. You'd have a blast. It would be.
And you'd learn something.
You'd learn something about the mating rituals of of the youths.
I do think it's so funny because a lot of it, like, I do kind of feel like I'm doing anthropology because I'm like, wow, like, in American culture, like, what has sort of trickled down to people who aren't very bright? And it's like so much therapy language. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. What are they saying? What are they saying?
Oh, they're all on a personal growth journey, you know? Like,
oh,
it's,
yeah. Well, that's just called life. I mean, that's what life is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're not wrong. It's just funny to hear.
But don't put it that way.
Yeah, 22-year-olds in hot pants talking about their personal growth journey. Hot I mean, pants. Of course they're on one, but.
The Brits talk about their feelings less because they're so repressed.
Oh, yeah. Sure. That's probably.
I wish we could see all the. Oh.
I'm excited to check out what's going on in the U.S. as soon as I catch up on all 31 episodes of the U.K. version.
Wow. And there's a lot of episodes in those, yeah. Seasons.
I know, it takes up so much time. I have seen a certain number of clips from Love Island U.S., and they all seem to be sex games. Like, it's all just like, can you do something that's almost but not quite sex to somebody in this room? And they're like, I'd love to.
Middle school. It's all middle school role play. Yeah.
It's crazy. This one girl in the most recent US season that I'm watching, she came on and they all had to like kiss people like the first little activity. Like, yeah, they were like, pick two boys to kiss and then you pick one of two to couple up with after you've kissed them. But one of them, she was like, well, I'm a Christian and I don't date on the kiss on the first date. So she just kissed them on the cheek. And it was like, what are you doing on like the slut show for sluts?
That's crazy. That's wild. Crazy.
I mean, by episode 4, she's like full on dry humping them. But I mean...
I can't wait to do the timestamps for this show.
Yeah, just like Love Island interlude. Love Island. It's fine.
I wish we could see all the wrestlers on Love Island. That'd be fun.
It'd be fun. I mean, they really manufacture jealousy because you have to be in a couple off the bat with this person that you have just
so
met.
So crazy.
And then they're like, wow, he's like cheating on you with someone else. Like, how do you feel about that? And it's like.
Do the, when the, when again, they couple
known them
up.
For 24 hours.
Are the couple, they must sometimes be like, would you like to form an alliance with me? Like, it must sometimes be like.
They don't get to, like, discuss it
they
in
don't,
advance.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they don't have all those chats.
They have a lot of chats.
What are they doing in their chats?
They have a lot of chats. No, but, like, I've only watched the one season, but they start out where the girls got to pick, and then it's like the boys get to pick, and then the girls get to pick, and like you have to answer the question: do you want to stay coupled up, or do you want to pick a new person? But it's like it's not like they're like this is a decision that we're making together. It's just randomly. It's like this person they get to blow up your couple or stay with it, and you have no power in this place.
How do you get voted off?
You get. Because you get dumped. You're now single.
You're like uncoupled and
That wouldn't happen to me. Singles. I'd form an alliance with someone. I'd pull them away for a little chat and we'd form an alliance and they'd never turn on me.
Like, I do wonder the conversations they're not showing me, and, like, less on Love Island than, like when we were watching Are You the One? Like, oh, I feel God, like there was a lot of, like, gaming stuff out that they, like, weren't showing on the show. Yeah. And then they, like, changed the rules the next season. You're like, oh, people got a little too smart about it, didn't they? So
that's almost troubling, though, like, knowing how badly they did sometimes. The idea that they spent more time than you saw actually trying to figure out what to do is like, true.
And then it's funny, like, watching the second season of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, because, like, a lot of the conversations, the subtext is like, the show has done really well, so that's why you're trying to be friends again to be on this season, but no one can quite say that outright. Yeah. So it's like, you have a
Except for the parts where they do say it outright. Like, it's like they
every once in a while they do,
they
which is crazy.
Step around some things, but the other things, they're like, I was portrayed as the villain last season, but this season it's going to be somebody else. And you're like, you're kind of like pointing out the set pieces here.
Yeah. The mechanics are strange. Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, wrestling.
Wrestling.
Okay, I moved something around because I thought that, like, 10 minutes ago before the Love Island stuff, I was like, it's a great transition into FTR, but that was a while ago. But just remember that before all this Love Island stuff, we were talking about FTR slipping on banana peels, okay? So speaking of FTR, they fought Jet Speed on Dynamite, and I think people liked it, but I didn't have any feelings about it, to be quite honest, except that I think it was in all our minds, like, it was like right back up there at the top of the mind was the panties looking
worse. Is it just me or is Dax's ass getting flatter? Like, at a certain point, I am just like, it's kind of notable how.
Get back in the gym, man.
Are you okay? Is this cynical?
His ass is wasted away.
I literally at one point was like, should he get a BBL?
I mean, it's surely got to be the cut of the panties, but these were like the baggiest and grossest saggy.
It was so bad.
So bad.
What did you say about it? Actually, you didn't explain why you were thinking about it, but I knew. What did you say?
What did I say?
You said, do you think you can buy panties that have like a built-in butt pad? For some extra lift.
Yeah, and you didn't say that it was about Dax, but it was very obvious what you were talking about.
It's just, like, so strange because I think that I bet he and Cash both have this problem with the panties, and I'm like, I think your bottoms are probably
using the word bottoms made that so much funnier, even though, like, it's a great word. I love it.
I think you probably have fairly standard bottoms, but everybody else at this company is managing to wear panties that, like, look normal on their butts, and you guys aren't. Like, where are you getting these?
I know. That's why I think that they're doing it on purpose for some reason, because it's like Brody King doesn't have, like, a dump truck, but he doesn't, like, look like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, if no panties can be cut appropriately for your flat, disgusting butts, like, at least, like go to a long boy, you know? Like, do something.
Or invest in my idea of butt padding.
Yeah, just
I think
get the butt
padding would be amazing, especially if it would, like, slip or a little bit in the match, and so, like, the butt would be, like, a little off-center.
I'm pretty sure, to be honest, from that period of my life where I was on TikTok, I think that it's very real. Like, you can get... People are wearing butt pads, I think, so... Like, I don't know why I think I learned that from TikTok, but it's like, why else would I have that knowledge?
Where else could it have come from?
I think that people are wearing butt pads.
That's crazy. Sometimes I feel like our society is really, like...
Damaged.
Reach escape velocity or something. Did you see that the Kardashians, they have, like, they're selling padded bras that have, like, a nipple, like in the, like, padded silicone. So it's
just leave your boob out.
Yeah, it's like, I thought the point of a padded bra was to not have the nip showing, but you have an artificial nip showing. I saw it insane.
I guess the pad pushes up as well for those who need it.
I guess.
Nobody needs it. Your boobs are fine the way they are.
I, like, didn't know you're pro showing nip, I guess, was my, I was like, wow.
I had gathered that just from my life in the world over the past few years. Like, people are showing them. So,
I mean... That's great, and I support it, you know?
For
but I think you should show your own nip and not fake silicone molded
nips. I agree.
Nips.
It makes no sense. The idea of buying a push-up padded bra with a fake nipple in it is like the species has amused itself to death. Yeah. It's like, this has got to stop.
Shut it down.
Just to, at that point, just take your shirt off and be free. You know? It's like, why are we talking?
I don't know. Oh, butt padding. Butt padding.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, the saggy, listen.
We did say going into this episode that we should take the option of diversions if yeah. they came yeah. along, and I think we've
embraced that with both arms.
The energy was like, if you see a sign advertising the world's biggest ball of yarn, let me know and I will get off the highway. My pleasure. FTR, I'm sure your butts are fine, but what are you doing? Where are they? Where are the panties from? If you're a seamstress, let us know what you think is going on there. Okay. Oh, so they're in this tag team tournament for Forbidden Door. Do we know?
They keep posting the graphic with these two teams on it, and then the four other parts of the bracket just say quarterfinal.
That's fucking divine comedy, actually. Yes. To just be like, it's a tournament. I don't know, they might have announced it, but like to me, I hadn't heard the announcement or whatever. So I show up to the show. It's like, we're having a tournament. We all know about it. Who's in it? Shh. Don't ask that.
It's just so reflective of how terrible the tag division is right now, where Tony's just sort of like, I don't know. I'll figure it out later. I'm sure I'll just throw some guys in it.
I know. And it was crazy to me too, that to like have these two teams in the first round together when you have no other teams in the bracket. It's just like, yeah. I thought Just Me was kind of one of our higher level teams at this moment, but that's fine.
You think we might have needed them elsewhere.
I think we might have needed them in another corner of the bracket just to hold things down.
The whole thing does smack of like when I have a work assignment due and I've put it off a little too long. So I'm at the point where I'm saying like, it's almost done. I'll have it up in 2 hours and I haven't started. So it's like, something's going to be in there in 2 hours, the Jet Speed FTR match. The rest of it, I think it'll be in there by Sunday. Like, we'll get there when we get there.
Little TBD.
Little TBD. Okay, so after FTR win by cheating.
I just thought, you know, the journalism TK is the...
Yeah, yeah. And...
Yes. Wow, I'm connecting the dots.
That's so fucking funny. TK is TK come to life.
TK is TK.
TK is TK. When TK is TKing, you know.
When TK has TK written all over every part of the bracket.
I love the idea that, like, Tony's turning in, that there's TKs all over and everyone is just like, and to be clear... You don't mean Tony Khan. Like, you do mean, like, to come. And Tony's like, that's what I said.
TK. It's a big TK bracket. Don't worry about it.
I'm TK. You're TK. We're all TK. Okay, Stokely hopped on the mic, and he said, Adam Copeland belongs in prison. And I loved that.
That got a pop from us. We were like, agreed.
Yeah. Not just agreed, but, like, Stokely, this is actually the best thing that you've said as FTR's manager. It's the funniest thing you've said as FTR's manager. If this doesn't become a meme in the online wrestling community, I don't know what we're doing here. Like, we should be responding to everything saying Adam Copeland belongs in prison. So then Stokely was railing against Cope until Cope's music hit and he came out. And then Stoke was like, cut his music. And they were doing the thing where it's like they cut the music, but the crowd is loving singing. So the crowd gamely sings on. And so it's like the music is still there. And I thought, give me a fucking break.
Well, Adam Copeland stood there and looked so like touched and taken aback. Shut up.
I have to say, I miss the days of Judas, where Chris Jericho would come out looking like an imperious Roman emperor about everyone knowing Judas. He's like, as you should.
He's like, yes, of course they should.
Adam Copeland
That is true. Jericho never makes a face like, oh, you guys. Like, I don't want that from him.
No.
I don't want that from any vet.
No. I just had the thought, I hope I still know all the words to Judas. It's been so long.
I hope I ever get to sing it again. I miss him. No one is going to like to hear it, but I don't care. I love you, Chris Jericho. I miss you every day.
Come back, Big J.
Please come back, Big J. I know none of you like. I know none of you want to hear it. I don't care.
It was better when he was here.
I just, all I want is 5 minutes a week. Is that so much to ask? Can I have anything for me? I think the greatest thing about the Adam Copeland sing-along era, I mean, it's bad. I'm annoyed at it a lot, but I love that I haven't learned a single word. No. I don't know.
No, that's true. Whereas Judas, we had picked it up.
We were pretty
against our wills. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't try to. Yeah.
No.
I don't know if it's just like the way people are singing or like the way that I even picked up all of fucking Cult of Personality, you know? Like, yeah. And we left our punk era pretty fast.
Yeah.
But something about, I don't know, I can't. Adam Copeland, is it da 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 da?
Yeah, something like that. That
don't know a single
right.
word.
No,
I don't even know the name of it.
No, I've
no
avoided learning it.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Well, so then Stokely was like, "Don't come out here," because I think he was like, "It's illegal for you to be near FTR, as you know, as well you know." And then I have here, Copeland shrugged, feigning forgetfulness. I forgot. I can't get within a certain amount of feet from you guys, right? I totally forgot about that. Who arbitrated this? Like, and did he, has he even laid hands on FDR recently? Am I crazy?
I don't remember him having a restraining order, but it also, like, I feel like I blocked out, like, everything that happened with him and FDR, and it was so long ago that it's like, it could be.
Well, he didn't attack them before leaving because they attacked him. He might have attacked them last week and I've forgotten about it already.
I mean, he attacked them kind of at the pay-per-view.
He was kissing Christian. I don't think he was paying
them.
But
he menaced them with a spike. I
just want to know what he means when he's like, I forgot I can't get within a certain amount of feet from you. Like, show me the paperwork. What's happening back there? No one has ever been banned from being near anyone ever in wrestling. It's either like if you're allowed in the ring, it's or if you're allowed in the building, it's all on the table.
Yeah. When we think of all of the feuds that we've seen that were like brutally insane, and Tony was just like, "No, they'll fine. They'll work it out.
They're fine. They're fine."
but for FTR and Cope, he's like, "We got to get lawyers involved. There's a restraining order."
Something doesn't add up here. Maybe this is related to the butts somehow. It's like a conspiracy. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Okay, Cope put a curse on them for the butts to waste away.
Oh.
And
wow.
So they got a restraining order, but it doesn't work because the voodoo doll is, you know, you don't need to be close.
I love the idea. It's like Tony's like, "Well, I usually let you guys arbitrate this stuff on your own." And FDR came into his office and they said, "He put a curse on us so our butts will waste away." And Tony looked like, "Oh, God."
He's like, "Well, okay, there's witchcraft. I mean, we'll have to take some action, obviously."
Okay, I do have to act. That's unacceptable. Because what if he started placing that curse on other butts?
Yeah.
Which he still could, because he's been banned from being near anybody else. So.
And the butts and thighs at the company are looking so good right now. Like, so maybe he did like an exchange spell.
Tony going, "My beautiful butts."
Not the butts that I brought the Thighmaster in for.
like a farmer looking at his field of pumpkins. He's like, "What do you mean they're gonna get stomped? My beautiful butts.
They're all gonna be flat, even Mark Davis.
It's about to be my best butt harvest of all time."
That's why the vibes are good. It's the beautiful butts everywhere.
And the juicy thighs. this episode is, I don't know what's going on. Okay. So Adam Copeland is like, "I put a curse on FTR's butts, so I'm not allowed to get near them. But you know what? I made a business deal with some gentlemen, and they were willing to come down and do what I can't do. Oh, and by the way, their business is hurting people."
Okay. A face hiring a heel to do a beatdown is a fucking heel shit. What's happening?
What do you mean?
It's crazy.
Let's put a pin in that really quickly, and let's just get to the other thing that is, I guess, you have to know to have this conversation, is that later in the show, the Hurt Syndicate are getting interviewed by Renee, I think, maybe. who's like, what's up with you guys and Adam Copeland? And MJF storms in and is like, what is up with you guys and Adam Copeland? Because it was really hard for me to get into this faction. It was. It took like 5 months.
Yeah.
And now you guys are just like friends with Cope and like no one was there to back me up with Hangman. Like it was like, well, you know, they don't have to follow you around all the time. Like, and so what's going on here? And then Bobby Lashley's temper snapped immediately. And he shoved MJF against the lockers. And he's like, I don't like your attitude. And I've had it with you. And I won't be in a faction with you anymore. And my thumb is down. And then this is how it was described in the recap. And I will say that this week it's never been more evident that the recap is being done by AI. We'll get to that later. But it did say, Shelton Benjamin offered nothing more than a solemn shake of the head. MVP gave MJF a long, quiet look, more disappointed than angry. And then the trio turned and walked away. More disappointed than angry. A solemn shake of the head. So now, in the recap and in the segment, to a lesser degree, I would say, her syndicate are being characterized as like the put-upon faces who are like, we can't be having your bad ways with us anymore because we are nice men. And that's why we have lent our services to Mr. Copeland, whose need is great and and who is righteous in his anger. It's like, you're bad guys. You've been bad guys this whole time. What do you mean?
It's crazy. I feel like I do not understand what their alignment is at all because they have been obviously heels this whole time, except obviously. I feel like sometimes like they're being treated – people are acting like
people are telling us baby faces.
Yeah. So it's like, what is going on? And like this makes me – this gives me a raging headache. Where it's
I
just
wish
like,
people could see how many times we've all been just massaging our temples during the past 5 minutes.
Like, so you took like 12 weeks of like, will MJF get into the faction or not? You finally got into the faction. Nothing happened while he was in the faction. And now you're breaking up? Like, what are we doing? What is the point of any of this?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
Absolutely crazy. It's like they haven't, like, they were together like 2 weeks and they did nothing.
Well, because it's like, I never understood why MJF got in the faction and now I don't understand why he's out of it.
No, absolutely. No.
And he got nothing out of it. It wasn't like I didn't even understand if he had some kind of plan other than like, I should have like some big, you know, beefy boys to like be on my side. You would think that he had more of a plan than that because it's like the place is full of beef. You can find beef anywhere, but
Ricky weird rumors that Wardlow is backstage, you know? Yeah.
Now hook those guys back up. That's not nothing. That's not nothing. Let's run it back. We'll see what happens. And it's like, and then like to have it just be, because the one thing that it was like, I think I'm supposed to be tracking this, was that MVP kept like cutting MJF off and kind of like, What did ONR call it? Little boying him or something?
Yeah, and little brother him.
Yeah,
little brother.
Like that. I was like, I'm supposed to be keeping my eye on that. And then they're just like, no, that's nothing. He's out now, though. He's done with the Hurt Syndicate.
It's crazy, and it's like it would be smart to split them up because they suck together. But I wish we had never done it at all. And it's wild. Like you have to do something if you make it such a huge plot point of him getting in. Like it. It has to mean something.
You at least need to have, like, it's like just for like the most basic, you know, like version of a like a breakup. If you're face turning, in my opinion, I'm like, you at least need to have like a pre-breakup beat that's like, well, we were thinking maybe we would like be not be doing like rude stuff and we'd maybe be like doing like just like giving our services to people who like really need them. Like, I thought we'd be doing more pro bono cases this quarter, this fiscal quarter. And then they disagree about that. And then it's like, okay, you're bad. Like, it's like that wouldn't work anyway because of what the Hurt Syndicate have done. But it's just like, this is total nonsense. Cope, evil for hiring them. Them, evil for being hired. FDR, also evil, but more buffoons. And now that I know about that butt situation, I'm a little bit more on their side.
Add a couple blogs in prison. Yeah, and it is true. Like, to make a sensical breakup, you would have to understand why they were together in the first place, which somehow, despite the amount of time spent on it, like, we don't. So I guess, but it's like, please manufacture something.
Please. I just make anything up. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And so this is all coming. The face heal stuff. I think I'm just like this week during the weird episode with my translator malfunctioning. It was just like, what do you want me to think about faces and heels anymore? Because I don't know. I think they released like a Hangman like recap clip or something this week on YouTube, but I couldn't find it when I went to try and see it again. But it was kind of like nice because they had Hangman on the clip being like, I think that when you hold a belt, you should be a moral person. I think that like if you have like the power of being a champion, like there are like moral and ethical implications to your actions. And like, you know, and I was like, I agree. Right. Yeah. And I think that if you're a heel, you should, that means you do bad things. And if you're a face, it means you try to do good things. Like, right. I don't know if you don't always succeed, but like you want to be ethical. I don't think ethics have factored into anybody's thought processes here for even a second. Nobody's thinking about ethics. Anyway, and then relatedly, and that is why I put it here. So then it's like, you know, Christian, I guess, is in Winnipeg or whatever, wherever he's from, and he's finding himself, and that's...
He went to go find himself.
Yeah. He went to eat, pray, love. I was just going to make that same joke. He's on his eat, pray, love journey.
We don't know which stage he's on. I would love to watch a little show of Christian eat, pray, loving.
To be honest, another thing nobody wants to hear, but I'm like, if they're just looking for, you know, it's like six episodes of content, send him to Italy. Send him to Italy.
Yeah. You know? I'd love to watch him pick out some wines and then, you know,
really get in touch with himself. Yeah.
Affair, you know, find his sensuality.
God, yes. Please. Okay, but so Christian's off finding himself, but his family who betrayed him are still on TV. So we have another segment with Nick Shana and Kip Sabian on Dynamite. And Nick Wayne is sitting there like a sweet little boy king. And he's like, we took a really big risk when we killed Christian. But now's the time that we show them. Now's the time that we show them. The last week we verbally explained ourselves as to why we did
what we did. That verbally explained for some reason was so funny to me. I mean, just because it sounds exactly like what a 19-year-old would write in an essay not written by ChatGPT, you know?
And I'm 90% sure this has come up in wrestling promos before, that we've laughed at this before, and we'll laugh at it again. It's the funniest thing that happens over and over again in the world of wrestling. Last week we verbally explained ourselves. This week, let's physically explain ourselves. Okay. All right.
In this essay, I will.
And then he said, we're going to prove that we're one of the most dangerous factions in AEW. And now that we're free of the patriarch, we're uncaged. That's fun. But this also is like, I guess that it is fun that it's like you were evil when you had an evil overlord. And then you were like, our evil overlord actually sucks ass. So let's take over his evil firm. And then it's fun to think about Christian on the outside being like, I was being evil. Oh, like you, we all want the same things. Why did I even get deposed? Like, I was being evil. You were being evil. Like, why did any of this happen? But somehow the treatment of it is so strange where it's like, I don't know why they just can't find a way. They just like can't make it. It's like, he was an abusive father, so it is good they killed him.
Yeah, right. Like, he deserved it.
Yeah. I know. I feel like I have less problems with this one because it is like, oh, they were evil and now they've deposed him. I did just suddenly have the thought like, oh, like, he didn't like that Christian was having sex with his mother. Now he's in charge. And I was like, is this an Oedipus? No. Like, he killed his father. Yeah. And it's just real Bob, and I'm so sorry that I said it and cut all of that, but...
Guys, we're going down a dark road and we don't like it here any more than you do. We don't like it here.
It's not the first time we've gotten here too.
No. What I would have done with them, I think, or what I would do with them is I wouldn't have let them cut all of these promos first, to be clear, but I would have someone come up to them and be like, dude, that guy was so whack. And it was crazy that he was always talking about fucking your mom. And you seem like a cool kid. And I think it's good that you beat him up. And then I would have Nick Wayne be like, I'm not a cool kid. I'm a very bad boy. And now I will run AEW as like my circus. And then have the person be like, fuck. Okay. I thought it was like a cool like emancipation thing. I didn't realize that you are also are evil and crazy. That's my bad. That's what I would have done, I think. Yeah. I think that would set it up better. But of course, I love seeing them, and I love seeing Kip Sabian is just glowing as well.
Suddenly I'm finding Kip really hot, which I never had before, but something about his hair is and the crossed arms over his chest. I don't know what he's wearing.
He has been looking like a beefy little cow.
This is a really satisfying time for me because I do feel like, oh, it's good to be an early adopter. We all get our moment of being like, yes, I was on board and now you're there with me. Now you also love his beautiful little body, his little beefy cow body.
I don't think that I premiered this on the pod. I think it was just in the group chat. But I also would love to recommend that they bring Jack Perry back and hook him up with Nick Wayne in a tag team called Patricide.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And then I said that they could also be called the Daddy Killers. And so those were both equally good options. Patricide really is very good. And it would be fun to watch like Jack Perry be a teacher. He's learned a lot. Is he ready to teach? Is he ready to be on TV? I'd love to see him on TV. Love to see him on TV someday.
I saw somewhere that's like it's literally been 6 months since his last match.
It's crazy. And for what?
Get in the car. We're going to the talent show. All right. We got an in-ring segment with Will Ospreay on Dynamite where he was like, I've been having a lot of problems with my neck and my vertebrae are eating themselves. The one is slammed into the other. Car crash.
I think one of his vertebrae is pressing into a spinal cord. I don't know. It was not good. It scared me.
Yeah. Well, this was a confusing segment for us because he came out. He sounded so legitimately serious. Like it was like, oh,
and we were primed because it was like the exact same vibes as the Adam Cole one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, terrifying. And then he's like, and my vertebrae, this situation, we're like, that sounds fucking horrible. And he's like, so I've talked to the doctors and thank you guys all for loving me for the time that you've had me. And I'm going to be out until Forbidden Door.
Like, wait, Forbidden Door, like next month, Forbidden Door?
Okay. I don't know what I assume that he is banged up. I assume he is having some vertebra issues. I don't know. I assume it's not so serious that he, you know, it's like he came out, he said he thinks he'll be at Forbidden Door. So it's like, well, you shouldn't say that if you're not going to be. So I have to assume it's okay. But I was just like, I didn't realize that you could act though. I didn't realize.
I do wonder, you know, like lying and acting are two separate things. You know, when Nick Miller's like, I'm terrible at lying, I'm terrific at make-believe. Like, maybe Ross is the opposite, you know?
He's an amazing liar. I'm scared. That scares me a lot. Maybe.
Yeah, I guess. It, like, just doesn't quite seem like the time frame for recovering from neck and spine surgery, but like I don't know. Maybe
I don't know what's happening.
Like I assume he is having some kind of health thing, but
I hope he's well. I hope he's okay. I hope he's okay
for sure. Yeah.
Don't and nobody send me a message like you're getting worked. Like, well, I'm being cautious. I'm being cautious. You know. I'm not trying to say anything.
We are no longer being stressed about getting worked. We are responding to what we see on our televisions.
You're right. Exactly. Thank you, Leah.
We're boldly not paying attention to any backstage nonsense.
We're
just watching the damn show.
Been worked before. I hope he's well. I hope he's not a habitual liar because I don't approve of that. I hope it is his theater training kicking in. And we were informed by, I think it was Chris or Tim told us. Yes, he has had theater training. And then I just suddenly remembered Susan Wacoma on Taskmaster, who, like, every single week was like, I went to RADA. I went to RADA. Look at me now. And that's how I feel about the idea of Will Ospreay having had any theater training. Okay. So he was like, Hangman, I love you so much. I kiss you on your face, my sweet best friend. And Swerve, my beautiful best friend, I love you so much. And I kiss you and I kiss you. And when I get back, I'm going to beat those Death Riders up. I said, oh, I didn't even realize you felt that strongly about it. But
and the Death Riders, they're still going to be going a month from now. Like, okay.
Who knows? We'll find out. And then as he was leaving, Swerve was coming out for his match with Okada, and they embraced, and it was so sweet.
It was a very intense hug. I was like, Swerve really, like, ain't nobody loves him better. He really came to, you know, he hit a new level with Ospreay. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you agree with my assessment here that the AEW recap said, as he finished his speech, Shane, quote, Swerve Strickland came out to embrace his friend and comrade.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It made me wonder, like, how they're, like, what they're feeding into the AI to get this. Like, are they putting the video file in there and then it, like summarize my meeting, you know?
Oh my God.
What are they doing? How are they doing it?
Every single time we log into this Zoom, it asks me if I want it to do it to our podcast. And I will never use AI, but sometimes I do kind of wish I could.
You want to know what it would do? Like.
Yeah,
it would be funny to see the summary, especially I think this week would be.
Yeah, there would be a lot of stuff where it's just like, you guys had a check in about your gas station, our pumps for us. In a sense, yes. Okay, and then Swerve did fight Hechicero, and was very good. I enjoyed it, and then the match got thrown out because of interference, which. I feel like usually people just kind of win, even though there was interference, but not this time. And then Okada came out and he hit Swerve with a chair, and Swerve tried to hit him with a chair, and I thought, Okada's looking really fucking good.
And yeah, you were like, oh my God, he's in a suit that fits.
Yeah, I got really scared. Like, I was like, his suit fits. I'm scared. And then as he was leaving, I was like, I'm really horny. I'm like mega turned on by him right now. I'm scared by that as well. Like, I just have never been, you know, haven't been like an Okada, you know, head like that. But she's like, really was working all of a sudden. And I was like, where are we? Like, what universe is this? Is this safe? Is this normal? Why did that suit fit? What's happening?
It's because he's been quantum leaped into, and the person in there has a better tailoring sense, you know.
The person there looks at himself in the mirror in the suit and says, oh, this won't do.
This won't do. First things first. We're getting a suit that fits us and our beautiful body. We're going to look good out there on television where I don't understand what's happening.
Oh, love that. Okay. There was a weird conglomeration package on Collision that was like a voiceover / a locker room segment with some footage from All In, where Mark Briscoe said, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because here we are, conglomerating hard like always. I said, what? I frankly don't. You keep telling me to, like, every month or so, you're like, and the conglomeration is still real. And I'm like,
Who's in it, Mark Briscoe? It's like you by yourself. I give up.
He's like, I'm always conglomerating. Yeah,
I'm conglomerating. Sometimes they walk near me, and that's what conglomerating is.
Remember that one time that Mark Briscoe was like, and I could have Kyle back anytime I want him. And Adam Cole was like, no, you can't. You can't. Kyle, heal. And that never paid off.
That never paid off. It's so funny to think about all the things in wrestling that just never pay off.
Yeah. J&J Security.
J&J Security every week. Okay. And so, la, 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 la. Then later in the show, we get this Chris Statlander interview with Lexi Nair in the locker room somewhere, where Lexi's like, Chris, talk to me about your Would it be inappropriate to use the word situationship with Willow? She didn't say that, but that was what I took from it.
It's so accurate, yeah.
And Chris was like, no, Lexi, situationship seems more than appropriate. That's exactly the vibe. And I have to say, like, everyone keeps getting mad at me for hitting her, but we're literally wrestlers and she hits me first. So what am I supposed to do? Just nothing? Am I just supposed to do nothing? And she's wearing, like, dark eye makeup. Like, she's in danger. You know, it's like, she seems like she's struggling with a lot internally. Mm-hmm. And at this juncture, Yuta comes into frame. And I think, yeah, Marina Shafir is with him. I thought Claudio was there too. But it's a little Death Riders walkthrough. Chris, so fast. Like, she sees them coming, throws her body in front of Lexi, and, like, brackets her behind her. Like,
yeah.
She didn't even say anything. And Lexi just looked like, what's happening? When I tell you that watching this was an erotic experience.
It was crazy. It was full Nigel Tony Schiavone.
Yeah. Where I was like, I didn't even know you knew Lexi Dare.
Yeah.
I was like, you'll never convince me she's evil now. You'll never convince me.
It was her number one priority was like, protect Lexi. There's a civilian here.
I fucking swooned. I was like, it was like, okay, I'll just say it and then we'll just move on. I was like, for me, it was like watching the movie Debs. Like, I was like, that was like Lucy Diamond or whatever. Like, I was like, oh, wow, Jordana Brewster. And you've got her? Okay. So that got me like pretty mega worked up. And to be honest, I thought it got Lexi a little worked up too, because she looked a little befuddled. As after Chris was like, I'm going to bounce back. I'm going to bounce back, and marched off screen. And Lexi was just standing there like, what just happened to me? What did you do?
She was ready for Chris to like throw her over her shoulder and carry her out of there.
Yeah.
Me too.
Like pull a Tony and Renee. Mm-hmm. Just carry her off screen.
To say, Renee, I must have you carry her out.
Oh my God. This is all I want to see. This is all I want to see. Someone on Discord, I wish I could remember who, and I'm so sorry. I hope it might have been Emmy. I don't think it was. I think it was someone else. But someone was like, it's like AEW's figured out, like, it's a cheat code if, like, a wrestler protects a non-wrestler. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, and it's a fucking huge cheat code. Like, it's like, immediately I'm like, I love you. That's so ethical of you. So sexy and ethical of you.
Take notes. Girls are attracted to ethical behavior.
Oh my God.
Think about that, Adam Copeland.
Put somebody else's safety before their own. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry. Horny cry. Anyway. But she did have this, she'd had this interaction with Yuta, her mean little brother.
And then as Yuta was talking to her and being like, doing this little snotty thing, and then Marina was like, come on, and like grabbed him, and Yuta was like, okay. It was like the very only, funny to me, his tone.
The only way that moment could have been better is if she had grabbed him by the ear and like dragged him by the ear instead. Yeah. Like it was very much like younger brother deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested that they're still doing this and their storylines are still intersecting. And we did get like a little like a Willow segment on Dynamite where she was kind of like, yeah, I've been mixing it up with, you know, the Death Riders and Chris Statlander. And anyway, but, you know, got to keep moving forward. And I'm going to have a feud with Tekla now. And it's like, that's great. What are you all doing together? Where's all this? Is it going somewhere? I'm getting edged. I like it. I don't know where it's going. I like it.
No, I'm into all of it. And I really like that they are like playing with Chris and Yuta's history. And I would love, I'd love Chris joining the Death Riders or like her and Yuta like ricocheting off into something else would be really fun too.
Yeah.
And that feels like kind of possible right now with them. Like Yuta obviously is getting beaten up and then he did get embraced really sweetly by John Moxley when his head was all bandaged up from the Crimson Mask in a way that like felt like Mox was being like, I'm actually a good dad.
Stop saying I've abused my son. We're actually fine. He likes it.
And he looked a little bit like he had, like, it was like, I hope he's on concussion watch. You know what I mean? Like, in kayfabe. Like, he just had a kind of bewildered expression. Like, what's happening right now? Yeah, well, we'll see where it all goes. Anyway, Athena did some, I think, much-needed balcony work on Collision. Someone mm-hmm. had to start using Finally. Those balconies, mm-hmm. and she did. And she was mocking Tony for a while before Tony marched out to the ring and said, "I'm the only balcony bitch in this business, darling." And I loved that. Yeah. They went back and forth about whether Athena was going to cash in, and ultimately she didn't. I didn't finish this description of what happened. So I don't remember. Oh, Tony. Okay, now I'm remembering. Tony was like, "If you won't come down to me, I'll come up to you," and raced up the stairs. And then Athena was running away from her. And then Tony had a big balcony moment where she was like, yeah. "Well, whatever, go away. I love it here, my beautiful public." That's what happened. Okay, good yeah. job, Allie. Whoa, straight off the dome. Wow. What'd you guys think?
I like this better than I did the last week, minus the one moment that I'm sure we're going to get into, but like, yeah. I just like promos so much more when they're talking to each other than yeah. backstage yeah. stuff. So I'm just glad that they did get this kind of face to face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is very fun to like use the space a little bit, have mm-hmm. a little, some shenanigans and stuff. And I really like Athena and I'm really happy she's on screen. Although she did call Tony a whore in a way that didn't feel fun. It felt a little.
I know. And it's like Tony has been using whore all the like recently, but not towards anyone else, just towards herself. Yeah. And in a very like tongue in cheek, like playing with it way.
Right.
Whereas like the way Athena used
dirty,
it.
Dirty disease ridden whore is a little bit of a, ooh, I don't like that. That right. feels. And
it's one thing to call yourself the whore you all adore. And it's one thing to, another thing to call another woman a whore in like a gross way.
I think yeah. this took me into a bit of a, okay, but respect sex workers.
Place. Yeah.
yeah. right.
So, right. Let's all be careful. It's like, you know, we're walking these lines and mm-hmm. it's all about context. And so let's be careful. Let's all be careful. Let's all be very mm-hmm. careful. Yeah. But I like they got the go back and forth. Yeah. And then I liked, I don't know who on comedy, on commentary said, "This is looking theatrical." Yeah, it is. It really is, yeah. Very good, very good point.
It's a fun little venue.
Yeah, it's a great venue. And it's fun to be there for a while and to be like, we're in the yeah. round for the next, yeah. you know,
well,
4 weeks
know,
or whatever.
The thing about Daily's Place is they were there so long, they yeah. were really starting to be able to use certain pieces of the yeah. backstage in mm-hmm. a way that you would start to recognize. And I'm kind of excited for that to happen a little bit here.
I wonder if, like, when they are, like, in a venue for the first, or whenever they're in a venue, I wonder if, like, people are going around and being like, "This would be a good place to do something," like, making notes, being like, "These yeah. are our venue notes." I'm like, is someone, you know, just keeping a record of, like, this is what we could use this for in the future?
I hope there's, like, an advanced team that, like, shows up early and it's like doing rounds and being like, "Okay, I know you said you wanted to have Mox do a backstage promo. We've scouted these three locations if you want to run them by him." You know what I mean?
That'd be such a fun
job. "Do you have a stairwell? Is there a stairwell I could get onto?"
What's the worst place to record yeah. sound?
Where's the sound the worst in the whole place? Yeah.
"Mr. Moxley, we actually find you some really beautiful locations and I want the nastiest stairwell you have." Stat. And then on Dynamite, we had a little backstage Athena Billy Stark strategy session where Billy was practicing her high level minioning before she headed out to fight Tony. Thought this match was normal. I didn't think it was like Billy Stark's best match. Like there were some parts where I was like, "Oh, it seems a little slightly off," but I love her, so you know, yeah. it was pretty good.
Yeah. I think she's so cute and so fun. So and cute. It was fun for me to have her announced out of Louisville, Kentucky. Because I was know. Like, "Yeah, that's my hometown girl. It's my Brass City bitch.
It's my Brass City bitch." It's sad for me to know no one will ever be announced out of Wilmington, Delaware.
You never know. Maybe someone's training right now.
I hope they are. I forgot to say on our All In pod that actually one of the greatest joys of the weekend was that when Mark Briscoe came out, I got to turn eyes wide to my brother and say, "And he's from Delaware." And then and we both had that energy of like, "From Delaware?" And I was like, "That's the great, if you're from Delaware, that's the greatest thing you can get to say to somebody else. He's from Delaware.
Yeah. Just Mark Briscoe, Aubrey Plaza, and Joe Biden, you know?
That's pretty much it, yeah. Okay, and then so Tony won the match by submission. Afterwards, Billy hit Tony with Tony's belt. Trying to avoid my own unclear antecedent situation. And Athena hurried down from the balcony where she'd been watching, which was great. And she was kind of brandishing her contract, like she was going to cash it in. But then she got so distracted by bloodlust that she just started beating Tony up instead and was crashing her into the stairs and having a gay old time. And that, unfortunately for her, gave enough time for Alex Windsor. Her music hit. She runs
Alex
out.
Alex Windsor!
She runs... She intervenes. She beats Athena up a little bit. Athena gets away, and she skedaddle. I'm like, I think you could still cash in. Like, you seem okay. Probably just cash in. Probably fine. But I guess they were like, they needed to have a ref out there or something. I don't know. There's something going on. Anyway, so she didn't cash in. Alex Windsor now has defended Toni Storm. I like the, you know, bring her into the fold. Let's see where that goes.
It's kind of sexy for Alex Windsor to come out and be like, assign herself as Toni's knight. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, yeah. Toni's just princessing around and Alex Windsor's like, you need a protector. And I will be that person.
Yeah, I know. It's like, why isn't some strong woman running out there to save her? And I guess it's Mina is injured. I think I missed this.
She broke her hand.
Yeah. In the match?
I think in whatever in the her last. I think so, yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate that.
Bummer.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's really sad.
I really hope that like they continue not to mention that Alex Windsor is I think they're now married, I think, to Ospreay, because I desperately want him to keep telling stories about the misses and they never make it clear who the missus is.
I know, I do love the idea. It's like he's telling some long convoluted story about like and then I showed her something and then she comes out and they don't acknowledge each other. That's fun.
Yeah,
on the very passing fun. Passing on the ramp, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, his whole story is about how the missus is mad at him about this, and you know, he had to make it up to her and all this stuff. And then it's just like, anyways, the women's division is Alex Windsor fighting.
Damn it, that's so addictive.
I know.
I keep having this fully insane reaction to her, where every time she comes out, I'm like, oh, she's so cute and she looks so young. And then being like, what did you expect? Yeah, she looks like she's around the same age as Oscar. Like. I don't know what the missus envisions for me, but
I really like her energy. I thought she had like really fun, like brawler energy. Like she just like got fucking in there.
Yeah, totally.
And she is very cute. I would love to hear her give it just a little promo. Give me a little hint of it. Maybe like her and Tony could go get dinner or something, and we could see a little of that or something like that.
Oh my God. I would love to see a little series backstage where like Alex Windsor is like, I'm your protector now. And Tony's like, well, we'll have to get to know each other. Let's go on a couple dates.
You know? They go to a trampoline park. And they go to that place in the Chinese restaurant. That's
Damn it. We're getting our asses canceled.
I know.
Nobody's happy with our ideas.
Kitchen a little bro chachos 2.0.
I think it should be something like, I think it should be like Tony's being like, well, let me take you to the most darling little restaurant. And it's just her dressing room. And Luther is the waiter.
And there's steak and wine and a sheet cake.
And then they sing about the steak.
You know, if a wrestler invited you to a room and there was a sheet cake in there, you would have a little, it would be a little
terrifying. Backing out the door, just like, oh, we can do this another time.
I see you have cake. I don't need to be involved in that.
Oh, so yeah, happy, happy, happy. So no one's cashed in yet, but we'll see how those cash ins play out in future.
See if they figure out how those little rules work and how they want to play it. So,
but if they can't figure out how the rules work, alternatively, we can just continue to be confused, and that's its own enjoyment. You know?
Yeah, you know,
it's fine.
Got to enjoy the ride when you come to wrestling.
Was there anything you wanted to talk about that you didn't get a chance to talk about? I forgot there were one or two things I did want to bring up.
I did really love on Collision that Max Caster was fighting Kyle O'Reilly, and Kyle started he started running away, and Kyle chased him around the ring while he yelled, "Stop, Kyle!" Stop, into the mic. Kyle. Beautiful work. Kyle, stop. Stop, Kyle.
It was so funny. Kyle's body was so juicy. Roddy was there, and he's been looking kind of distinguished. I don't know, it's because his grays are coming in. The glasses
kind of work for me, and yeah, he was looking cute.
I kind of liked it, and oh, I forget what that was about. And then there was some conglomeration intimation at the end of this that I felt like was that Kyle and Roddy were going to fight Ishii and someone else. It felt like they'd been trying to set up some conglomeration knowledge that I hadn't onboarded. And I was like, I don't know what you want me to take from this. I wish I knew. I'd love to know, but I don't. But I'll follow Kyle.
Kyle's got to get back into the conglomeration. He can bring Roddy if he'd like to.
He can bring Roddy. Yeah.
That'd be fine.
I love the idea that Kyle's like, yeah, I'd love to come back and just be a lunatic. I'm going to bring my normal boyfriend. Is that cool? And everyone's like, I guess.
Our energy is very like, Kyle and Roddy need to be rehabbed. And like most wrestling fans, they mean like, wow, they really, like Jet Speed got treated bad by the Hurt Syndicate. And we're like, they've been so boring. They need to know their personality.
Oh, we don't care how much they lose, but they need to be get weird.
They can lose all they want, but that's what being buried is on Collision with Adam Cole, you know?
I feel bad saying it the week after Adam Cole, and I'm really sorry. And Adam Cole, it truly is all of our traditional best to you and your family. And I really mean that. I'm really sorry, and I hope everything's okay. But I did feel like, well, Kyle, you're being kind of a lunatic this week. I love it. I fucking love it. I also just want to, I'm just going to float this one. We'll just see if it goes anywhere. So Scorpio Sky is back, and he now is in this faction with Top Flight and Christopher Daniels is there. Yeah. And Don Callis.
He was wearing like a SCU shirt, like SCFNU, which was like, oh yeah, I forgot that was a faction.
Kind of takes you back. And Don Callis I came over and was like, do you guys want to join my faction? And was like, do you have just endless resources? Like, how many bunk beds do you have? Like, at a certain point, that has to stop. Like, you can't invite everyone to join your faction. But Scorpio Sky was like, no, I don't think so. And then Christopher Daniels like stepped in and was like, we absolutely don't think so. And he really got up in Don Callis's face. And I'm just going to be tracking it because I thought, like, there's something there. There's something
there. I don't think I can go for bald for bald.
I think, I don't know, Leah. I feel like you might. I don't know what's going to happen. Listen, I don't know the future. I don't know what's going to happen. But something about the way Christopher Daniels was talking to him, I was like, you guys have been here before. And it didn't end well. I sense I've walked these floors. Sexual tension.
And there's really nothing like old men who've known each other for 30, 40 years in wrestling, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't particularly see it in this one, but my heart is open. I'm willing to be taken on a ride. We'll see.
It could turn out to be nothing, but it's like, I just, you know, I'm always keeping my eyes open, and I'm not saying it because I want Don Callis to have sexual tension with someone. That's not it at all. But I just thought, Christopher Daniels, this is an interesting energy from you. I haven't seen this very much. You're really giving off something.
Don Callis is bringing something out of you.
So I'll be tracking that closely. Thank you. Thank you. On that note, I think I've been Alex.
I've been Ian.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, and Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, please. Rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. And as always, please come back next week.
Looking to get the most out of your money, time, and even better, your points and miles? I'm Chris Hutchins. I'm a lifelong optimizer, and I've sold 2 companies, racked up millions of points, and traveled the world to over 60 countries almost always for free. And I host All the Hacks, an award-winning podcast trusted by more than 1 million listeners that turns big ideas into quick tactical moves you can start using today to upgrade your life, money, and travel. Recent episodes have covered how to book business class seats for economy prices, how to make an easy $3,000 a month from online deals, and tiny habits that you can use to buy back hours of your time each week. There's no fluff in the show. It's just proven playbooks to travel better, spend smarter, and design a life you're excited about. So search All the Hacks, that's All the Hacks, in your podcast app, hit follow, and start upgrading your life today.